go back to our discourse that last year we had gone through part one, just about part one. Everybody should have the document. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3. Oh my God. This morning. The document. Everybody repeat after me. The scripture distinctions. Of actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. Oh, we can get this. If God causes us to internalize this. Amen. We're going to just rejoice in the God of our salvation every day. And we're not going along on this roller coaster ride and merry-go-round that the world is on. Happy today when things are up, you're down tomorrow because things are running adverse to your imagined itinerary. And that's all we have. God has the agenda. Everybody say God has the agenda. You may not like it. Sometimes I don't like it. I'm not running the show. God is. But you can be assured of this, that He loves you. How do you know? Because Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, amen, said, blessed be the God, or actually that Greek word there's evlogitos, which is a derivative of the word translated into Latin, eulogia, which we transliterate in English is eulogy. Of course, most of us don't know what eulogy is. Instead to eulogize, we think that means to preach a funeral. Amen. That simply means to speak well of, to speak highly of. And so this could be translated high praise to the God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Amen. And so, our praise, our highest praise, our highest praise is for spiritual blessings. Many of us don't understand what spiritual blessings are. We think that if He gives you a raise on the job, and I hope everybody in here gets one, amen, but that's a physical blessing, and we praise God for that. But here, Paul is speaking of that that transcends your encounterments and your confrontations on earth. He is speaking of the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? The heavenlies are in Christ. And I'm praying that God's people will reach the place in their growth and maturity and development that our highest praise, amen, will be for what He has done for us before we got here. And having chose us, elected us in Him before creation, before the foundation of the world. Amen. And that looms so big until the status of my bills and my employment and my health, amen, and my daily manifested life situations do not interfere with the joy that I feel. And the joy, amen, that is in my heart based upon that which transcends the things that are around me. Now, in this document, we have been away from it for quite a while. Amen. I want you to turn to the glossary of definitions. We'll be in, you know, I think it's easy for me to go through some of these definitions, amen, than to just define every word that I say. That fact, that makes the document longer. And then we're saying some things here that utilizing some expressions that many are going to challenge us on. Thank God that we are able to put everything in writing. And those of you maybe listening to this on our website, there's always the written dissertation of what we are conveying. We will never preach or teach anything here except it is in writing. Actualization. Everybody got page 3? It means that which makes action real, a turn an action into a fact. Actuation is what puts it in motion. When does the process start, incite or move to action, impel or motivate? I said to you before we even get started that those two belong in the eternal sphere. They are in the decree of God.
Yes.
Cognitive. That's the process of acquiring knowledge through reasoning. Here, when we say intuition, we're talking about intuitions not from psychic or mysticism, but we are speaking about thought perceptions that are gleaned and exude from spiritual, or scripture I should say, exegesis. What is gleaned from the scriptures? Conception. That is the origination or beginning. The act of power of forming an idea in substance. Everything that exists already exists in the mind and in the thought process. That is in the decree of God. When we get to it, and most of us know of the passage I've heard in Ecclesiastes, of course, it's amusing to me sometimes to see how the theologians, the commentaries run on that. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Of course, you have to be in our gospel to understand what that actually means. Amen. It is not new because it's already existing. But we can't get manifestations mixed up with actualization. Actualization, God's decree in eternity. Manifestation in time. Amen. Decree to command or ordain, or to having the force of law or principle. That is a form of authoritative order. Here's a word that I hope everybody around here is already familiar with. Covenant. Covenant. It's an agreement, a contract. And know and understand that your contract is the grace covenant. The grace covenant is the volume of truth that's in those 14 epistles. That is relevant and written directly to the church today. Amen. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Existence. The same of being real, of actual ontology. You hear that word, ontological, ontology, ontologize. We speak of ontology, that is the study concerned with what constitutes existence. or come into being? When does a thing actually come into being and how? Amen. Is it when we see it? No. That's what the Old Testament, the writer Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. That when it shows up, that's not the first time it exists. Oh my God. Then Paul, either of two completely opposed contrasting positions, states views. In other words, when we speak about the mental, human mental pole, that's from the way that we see it. I had a minister tell me as we were discussing this, and he said, now you're trying to teach this thing from God's perspective. You've got to teach it from the people perspective. No. We want to teach it from the real perspective. Now, how I see it, many times it's all messed up. How it is the way it is in God's decree. So when we use the vertical heavenly pole of God, not the human pole, then possibility that is an event occurring that is humanly perceived as a potential for successful future development. And of course, we're going to go back through that a little bit this morning. Possibilities and probabilities, event that is humanly perceived to likely happen, are coming to existence. Of course, when you are actually to scripturally distinguish between manifestation in time and see that it is only a testimony, amen, of that which is being expressed from and it is drawn from the decree of God, amen, then we get our possibilities and probabilities in order. Synergism. You hear us talk about that quite a bit. And when we speak it, we're only speaking of it in terms of, not only in terms, but basically in terms of theologically doctrines that of human wills annexed to God's work and working together. Amen. In other words, God has a part and we have a part. Then if God's going to do his part and we don't do our part, then the thing's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You know, that God is somewhere dependent upon us for something. Here we all depraved. Amen. We'll deal with that. Time capsule. Time is a creation. Time is a creation. Time is a creation of a containment entity with decreed representations chartering the course of past, present, and future events, a generation for the purpose of revealing testimony in sequence. God doesn't need to sequence anything. God doesn't even have to materialize. Amen. But he does it for who?
Us.
For the sake of manifesting. And so you understand what time is. You know, you got millenniums and got the many, many ages. You've got centuries. Then you can break that down in components and into decades and I guess scores, which is 20 years, and then decades, which is 10 years. And then you can break it down into years, and then the years into months, and then the months into weeks, and then the weeks into days, and the days into hours, and then the hours into minutes, then the minutes into seconds. And then it took many, 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 many centuries for there to be an agreement on what a second is. And finally, and over the years, a second has not always been the same thing. And so now, a few years ago, they established what we call it an atomic number. And it's how many times there's a reaction within an atom. And they came up with a constant number, amen, which that's very, very minute, small. You would have to say, you know, 10 to the minus some high power there. Amen. As to how many, what constitutes a second. And do you know, last year they adjusted the clock? You know, amen. They had said we were moving too fast. They took a second away from us. Oh yes, huh? Amen. I'm saying all of this to show you that these are all just mediums that God has outlaid, amen, for the purpose of sycamore sin testimony unto us. It means nothing to God. Amen. A day is the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. How can he be relegated to something that he has created? How can he be subject to anything in his creation? Amen. And so we'll be getting into that. Now, I want you to turn. Remember now what we have here is part 1 and 2. Going forward, when you get to part 3 and going forward, I'll just give you the various parts. And somewhere down the road is documented some 300 some pages long. We'll give it to you in some type of a note binder. Let's turn to the section in here, page 22. The scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Everybody said the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. I remember now we just went over that word, cognitive process of acquiring knowledge. So here we're saying scripturally acquiring knowledge of the aspects of probabilities. We must understand that in the grace gospel, there is the heavenly enlightened view depicted in the most fundamental manner of the conveyances, entailing an array of instructions and directives that are addressed to the grace church concerning our lifestyles. Here we have the Greek word peripatesine, which means walk, which denotes the manner and conduct of how we live, our mannerism of operating in the present manifested course of life. This word is transliterated into English peripatetic. As an adjective, it pertains to us walking about or traveling from place to place. Follow me now. Like an itinerant. As a noun, it depicts how we walk about, sort of like a pedestrian. The general inference is that all that exists in time is transitional. We're moving, but also events are moving. And occurrences are moving. And things are changing. And we are frustrated because things change. As long as you're in the sphere of time, one thing that you can count on is that things are going to change. Here today, gone tomorrow. Happy today, sad tomorrow. Sad today, happy tomorrow. moving. Oh, yes, someone said young today. Oh, tomorrow. Amen. But everything is changing and moving, and God has a purpose. And so you won't get any stability in time. Our problem is we have earthly expectations that are not realistic. Not here, not now. Not while we're in these depraved bodies. Oh, no. This is why our blissfulness, our happiness, must transcend the things that are around us. Amen. So we're transitional, and we're moving through like a sojourner en route to a permanent state of possession. Now, as this relates to the status of the child of God, it is documented, and I passed out to you some time ago, and I don't know whether some are on the back, but if not, we'll run them off and take them back home as well as the other documents. And Pastor, you all these documents, amen, listen. But then get out here and go crazy like everybody else. Get into this word and live. We sing a song sometimes, look and live. Look and live. It's recorded in his word. Look and live. The doctrine of peripatiology. Everybody said doctrine of peripatiology. It is the study of the believer's walk, a journey through time, as we move towards our eternal destination. Now there's a plethora, I'm on page 24, of detailed information in the scriptures delineating the purpose, plan, and design of God as he manifestly correlates his will in the lives of his elects, move through the elements of the depraved creation concurrently, that is, accompanying the sphere of time. Unfortunately, there's the general practice of attempting to glean information in this regard from the Old Testament kingdom truth writing. I was telling the young people this morning that, you know, when you read the whole Bible, but get your relevant information from our contract. This is why this Bible must be divided into dispensations and covenants. You go over to the Old Testament, you go into Genesis, many things there will not help you to clear things up. They're going to confuse you even more than you are now confused. And so when we're reading in Genesis, we must read from the knowledge that we have in those 14 epistles. So that we look at things not from the earthly view. Old Testament writings, they're all earthly covenants, promise, law, kingdoms, their volumes, listen to me, of documentations, present limited views of God's people moving through time strictly from the temporary vantage point, that which is seen by us. In essence, the supreme focus of life is outlaid in the heavenlies, covenantable, that is the grace volume of truth, delineating the unlimited view of God's beloved people, firmly positioned, my God, in the body of Christ. It is in this light, even as we sojourn through time, our walk is in knowledge from the eternal heavenly's vantage view. Vantage point, that which is unseen in time, yet confidentially perceived in eternity. This is what Paul was talking about. Amen. When he states in Ephesians 4:1, said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk what? Worthily. There's no way you can walk worthy. Worthily of the calling, or in conformance to the calling from which you have been called. Now, there are some very succinct expressions in the structure of God's principles and how they work in the lives of his people. Let us turn, now let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Everybody, turn to it. Now we'll probably be on part 2, and actually this is really the end, and I'm going back and reiterating some things here. In our recapitulation, we're trying to do here is to go back and get what we where we have previously gleaned, and then transition into part two. All right. Everyone has Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Say amen. Everybody that has Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, oh my God. Let's back up for context's sake. Oh my God, hallelujah. I tell you what, we're just recapping the day anyway. Amen. Let's start at verse 10. Elder, you can read most of that from the King James. And of course, I think we had exegeted in our previous messages in this dissertation. I think we had exegeted many of this, but much of this. But let's go back over it. It's been a while. Amen. So we will just look at today as sort of like a review. All right? Everyone has Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Amen?
Amen.
All right, read or read.
Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the 10th verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
That I may know him.
Now, you see, that, oh my God.
And the power of...
Knowing him. That is an aphorism. That is a statement of principle. Knowing him. You can't begin to try to figure out life and you don't know the Lord. You don't know the God of creation and the God of your salvation. The less you know about him, the less you're going to know about life. The less you're going to understand, and the less we understand, the more we fear. The more we're fearful, the more unhappy we are. Now you can reverse that thing. The more you know about God, the happier you are, the safer you feel. The more you appreciate life. Everybody said knowing him.
Knowing
him. So how are we going to know him? Read.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Power of his resurrection.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Oh my God, say that one again.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
What does fellowship mean? That word, oh my God, means to have things in common. Don't want to go through nothing? Well, not bad about what you want to. None of us want to go through. You're going through. Anybody that's preaching to you trouble-free, problem-free in this world, they're lying to you. Even in the Old Testament, there be some man's vulnerable woman is what? And what? There he's trying to tell you five ways how to get out of something. See? Read that. Keep going.
Being made conformable unto his death.
Oh my God. Being conformed to what?
Unto his death.
To his death. Now, he's not here when he speaks about his death. His death. You have the genitive there. His death. Whose death? Christ's death. He's talking about the results and the benefits of Christ's death. You know, as frustrated and disgusted as some of us are, it's like there are no benefits in Christ's death. And how dare the church are those in some ministries, I should say, not the church. The church is the body of Christ. But how dare some of those, some ministries equate happiness with physicality? And equate even the death of Jesus with physicality. When did he die? The actuation of his death is in eternity. The manifestation of it is 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And so we must understand these things. Read.
Verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
See what Paul is, oh my God, he's not, he's talking about the life of resurrection. In Colossians he says, since you are risen in Christ, do what? Seek the above things. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
Yes. Set your affection on what? The above things. Prioritize what? The above things. And then in case someone will want to try to say that's not what he said, amen, said not the things on the earth. Of course, the ministries are not, they're not going to teach that. You know, they're going to tell you, you know, amen, they, Abraham had so many oxen and so many cattle and herds. And, you know, they go there and everybody's, woo, 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 woo. You say, hey, why other people losing their houses, you're going to be buying houses. Hey, everybody's, you know. Now you get out there and lose your job. Now you're depressed. You're all messed up. And I hope you don't. I hope you keep your job. But if you lose your job, have you lost your life? Huh? Is your life over if you lose your house? Young man that's in my college alumni association, not so young, amen. He was retired, and he had gotten not. Well, he didn't retire. He took that buyout. He took that buyout from Ford. Well, you got. He didn't have his 30 years in, so that was it. And he got out of here and he couldn't find a job. And that little money disappeared. Well, it's sad because he committed suicide. We got to see life above the things that are around us. Your life is here in Christ. If you keep that job, you sooner or later you're going to lose it. You're going to give it up. It's going to give you up. So, I tell you what, the two will part. And everything else around. Naked you came in this world, naked you going out of here. That's our gospel. Here you are saved and there you are all stressed out by something God has decreed. You upset? Who you upset with? I guess we don't have nerve to say we upset with God. We upset with somebody. We say, I'm upset with myself. Wait, that's because you've been taught that you have free will and what you do determine things.
Amen.
But that's an illusion. That's the biggest lie ever came out. And we look around and everybody's jumping nice. Woo, Obama's in now. We're going to see a little bit. Don't you fall for that crazy stuff. So what's going to happen? Whatever God has decreed. If it works, I'm not going to be praising. I'm going to be praising the Lord. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to be praising the Lord. Because I trust him in whatever he does. So this is what Paul was talking about there. Amen. You see, here he uses a lot of pneumatic terms there, wherein you're saying something and it's representative of something else. And so he's talking about the life of resurrection. You know? And Jesus even said in the kingdom gospel, he that believeth me, I am the resurrection. Pointing to eternality over time. I said to you, the actualization of things ontologized in God's decree. We're stressing out over stuff that's already happened. And can't change any of it. You can't add. Jesus said, didn't he say, you can't add, but neither can you take away. You can't alter anything. And then we sing songs, you know, I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. We just sing. We're all stressed out. Read.
Verse 12, not as though I had already attained.
Now here, basically, he's speaking of the knowledge. Here he's speaking of knowledge. But what? Either what?
Either we're already perfect.
Already matured. Matured here. But I do what?
But I follow after, if that I may apprehend for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Oh my God, go back and listen to some of the previous tapes. Now that which has set you, let me just break it down colloquially, in the catbird seat, as they said in the South. You're rolling in clover in the eternal sense.
Amen. Come on, man.
And you didn't bring that about.
No. Amen.
Had nothing to do with it. It was done before you got here.
Amen.
That's what he was saying. Amen. I was apprehended. I want to get the knowledge of what has apprehended me. Amen. So I can have more confidence in him. How are you going to have confidence in paying your bills if you don't have confidence in your salvation? You don't know whether you're saved, and if you feel you're saved, you're all confused as to how it happened and when it happened. And so when you put all of these things in order, that's what Paul was talking about. All right, read.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling.
He was talking about salvation. He's talking about knowledge.
For the prize of the high calling of God.
Of what God has done, your calling, your eternal calling.
In Christ Jesus.
Everybody say, in Christ Jesus. That's what this thing is about. That's why when we stand up here to preach and teach, it's about Jesus. What's the subject today? When we get through talking about Jesus, what? It's time to go home. No politics. No sociology. No psychology. What does the scripture teach? Read.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect,
be mature,
be thus minded.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
And if you, the things that you don't know, as we grow, the things that we don't know, God continues. He continues to illuminate us. God is faithful. Oh, I love him this morning because he's faithful. He continues. He just continues to feed us. We don't deserve that. And so life to us is joy. Life to us is peace. Life to us is happiness. Regardless of what's going on out there. The stock market crashes. I don't want to see it happen, but I'm not going to crash because it crashes. Why? Because our bold, our stability and stickability is the fact that we're in Christ. Man, you're talking crazy. Don't you live in the world? But we'll get to that in a minute. Read.
Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained,
mm-hmm.
let us walk by the same rule,
mm-hmm.
let us
mm-hmm.
mind the
mm-hmm.
same thing.
Mm-hmm. You see, Timothy, when he talks to Timothy, he said, these things, this doctrine, you go running all over the Bible, make sure you know this, so that when you read that, you have an understanding of what you're reading. What is gleaned and internalized in your gospel will help you to understand what is written in the other portions of the Bible. So when you go back there and it looks like someone is doing something, you know they're not doing it. Through the knowledge of your gospel, you know that they have been enabled and caused to do it by God. That is, if it's something good. Read.
Brethren, be fathers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example.
Mm-hmm. And now my Paul is not trying to put himself. Carnality is amazing sometimes. Here this man was given the revelation of the mystery. Volume of truth that was never known. That is, if Paul's testimony is to be believed, it was here for ages to come. So he wasn't talking about Paul's carnality. Paul never wanted anybody to follow his carnality. It's the doctrine. The mystery. Verse 18.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross
enemies
of Christ.
Enemies of the testimony of the cross of Christ. Amen. I think we had gone over that. All right, let's keep moving. Mm-hmm.
Whose end is destruction,
mm-hmm.
whose God is their belly,
mm-hmm.
and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things.
Mind and earthly things. Now, they're not going to preach that. They're not going to preach that. You've just destroyed the prosperity ministry.
That's right.
And most of the word of faith, so-called word of faith doctrine.
Yes, amen.
Now someone will say, well, aren't we on the earth? Don't we have this thing? Oh my God, read.
For our conversation is in heaven,
mm-hmm.
from whence also we look,
mm-hmm.
for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's hurry up and get to the Greek here.
verse 21.
Now, let's read 21st. I don't want to leave that hanging. Not even a second.
Who shall change our vow body?
Nope. Let's go to the Greek verse 20. Everyone who have, listen to me. I'll be down in about 15, 20 minutes. Everyone that has a Greek interlingual, open it, and if you don't, take your King James, but follow closely, because some of the wording is different. It's different because, oh my God, why is it different? Why is it different? It's different because basically it's the King James is a translation. I'm not trying to beat up on the King James. Is different because some translators will hew more closely to the script than others. Elder, read that slowly. Is everybody with me? Say amen. And I, you know what we're trying to do is we're trying to convey knowledge. And you know what? I do not apologize. For the conveyance of spiritual and scripture epistemology. Epistemology is the study of knowledge. And I've said this, those who are really not into the Word of God, really, really don't want to get into the nuts of the Word of God, this is going to be one of the most boring encounters you ever had to come and sit here. It doesn't matter who's preaching. We're going to stand up here, we're going to call the scripture, we're going to exegete it. We're going to break it down. And then we're going to explicate it. And then we're through. Now the question here might be posed as to what we're saying about not on the things of earth and the things that say, well, I'm on earth. Well, it speaks to it. I don't have to answer. The Word of God answers it. Read that very closely. Verse 20.
Of us.
Mm-hmm.
For the citizenship in heaven.
That's the word. The citizenship. Where's our citizenship?
In heaven.
In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
In Christ. Our citizenship, where the heavenlies are. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you ever gone on a vacation? Go on vacation and you're in that city, that particular city. Yeah, you may be interested in a few things they're doing, but you're not really getting into what that government is about, are you?
That's right.
Huh? Y'all looking at me strange. And while you're there, while you're there, you're going to look into provisions where you eat. It's going to be a restaurant or wherever, where you're going to stay, hotel, motel, but you're not going to get in the nuts and bolts of what's going on in that venue. Why? That's not your citizenship is not there. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. When he said we're not looking at the things that are being seen. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in the heavens. So why aren't you a citizen of this country? So forth and so on the earth. Yeah, just like on that vacation. While I'm there, I'm interested, but my priority is where I stay, where I live, where my citizenship is. And somehow the churches just miss that. And so you have ministries that are specializing in physicality. I said to you, one day you're going out of here.
Amen. Yeah.
Either sooner or later, you're out of here.
Yeah.
read that again.
For the citizenship in heavens is from where also a Savior will wait, Lord, Jesus Christ, who will change the body of the humiliation of us to the body of the glory of Him, according to the operation of the to be Abraham, even to subject of Himself all things.
See, you see that? Oh my God! You see that? Oh my God! The operation of enablement, of His enablement. As all things are subjected to who?
Him.
To Himself. You know, it's like, and I don't know where this thinking comes from, but I do know where it comes from. It's depravity and it's selfishness and it's self-centeredness, and it's what the ministry previously taught us, that God is somewhere on the periphery,
right,
just waiting to feed in what you need,
right,
if you tap the right vein.
Right.
That is crazy. It's like God doesn't have an agenda when God has the only agenda. God has the only agenda. What we have is imagined itineraries. But God has the agenda. And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to manifest? The manifestation must follow the decree. In Matthew 24, when Jesus speaks about those things that are going to come or that's going to manifest, He said, these things must happen. What's He talking about? They already exist. And they must manifest, because the manifestation has to follow the decree. So this is about God's enablement. Now in this passage, and we're going to leave it today because we're going to go on into part two. We were dealing with probabilities and, you know, possibilities of things that happen. And many of us out here, we have certain aspirations. No, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't have any aspirations, but subject them.
Right. Come on.
Keep them subjected.
Right.
Keep them subjected to the will of God.
That's right.
This is why, you know, we said, well, we're going to have prayer. And I said, well, we're going to have a minister over every prayer session we have here. We're not to have anybody under no illusion that you're pushing the right button. As one minister say, you know, there's like a computer program there. You put in a bloop, 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 and then out come what you want. That is crazy. You know what's going to happen? Whatever God has decreed. And it's going to be what He wants, not what you want. It's going to be what He has purposed. You know, we sing songs here. I go where you want me to go. I do what you want me to do. You just singing a song. You don't believe that. No, you don't. You said, no, Lord, no, Lord. Please, Lord, no, don't let it be this way. Jesus didn't talk that way. He said, whatever, not my will. So we pray here. What is our prayer? A lot of people don't like for me to pray for them, because, you know, if I pray, I'm going to be said, you know, Lord, your will is done. You know, and some ministers teach you, once you say that, you've destroyed the prayer of faith. That's crazy. Faith is trusting God to do do it His way.
That's right. Amen.
Faith is not trusting God to do it your way. You don't need faith for that. You want what you want anyway.
That's right.
And so when we talk about probabilities, we talk about the occurrences that are manifested in the time capsule as probabilities. What are they? Events? Circumstances? that are most likely to occur. Then that's defined in several ways, and I'm trying to get through this because we have to go to part two. Take this home and read it. You know, when you look at the scripture now, analyzation of the quantitative aspects of probabilities, they invariably induce scrutiny in the distinguishing of component parts from a different perspective. Look at this thing differently, namely, analyzing the cognitive aspects of such. Scripture-wise. So you understand the essentiality of things from the information that is available about them, amen, we have the greatest information, and that is God has designed it. God has decreed it. And so the authentication of it is not so much what we know about the incident, but what we know about the God who designed the incident and who has purposed the incident. Now let's go all the way over, because I'm going to leave this with you. And you know, there's no way this thing is 340 some pages that we're going to go through every aspect of it. Many times we're going to hit on certain things. Other times we'll stop and hit on a few things. Oh my God, hallelujah. Let's go to the last page, to page 30. Because I'm going to leave this today. We're going into part two. See that second paragraph? It says the pursuance. Everybody got that? Say amen. Now here he just read from Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. The pursuance of processes of life are summed up in the conveyances of Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Here, more English friendly translation from the Greek. For our place of citizenship is in heaven, in the heavens, for which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Here we have the Greek phrase to prolema, which is rendered citizenship, or if we are the placement of citizenship, it should be placement. It strongly declares the state of abiding, and we say place. When we say place, sometimes we're thinking of something physical, but here we're talking about the position. Okay? The positioning of citizenship. So we're talking about the state of position of abode to which members of the body of Christ belong. Here we have a verb, epaki. It is rendered is. It indicates the position or place, if I use that word place, I'm speaking of position, of the elect's citizenship. Exists as it exists in or belongs in the eternal heavenly sphere. Your citizenship is in the eternal heavenly sphere. Here the present tense infers that even as the child of God physically abides in the earthly domain, we actually reside or exist in the spiritual eternal sphere of the heavenlies. Thus, the secured place or position of full rights and privileges of the child of God are positioned according to the provisions where? In the heavenlies in Christ. That's why Ephesians 1 and 3, this is why he started off, Evlogitos. High praise. Paul's heart, that's why we say, let's give a grace praise. Whenever we talk about a grace praise around here, we're not talking about, you know, that you got a raise. Or, you know, and we're happy for that. The Old Testament has a terminology for that. It's called a Shabbat. The Old Testament. You know, and we Shabbat too. Amen. If you come in here and tell me you got a raise or something, I'll rejoice with you. But that's not my greatest praise. And it shouldn't be yours. Nothing trumps our salvation. Nothing trumps our position in the body of Christ. All right, lastly, identification in the spiritual realm characterizes design functioning of the minds of God's people, as distinguished from the masses of those continuously transfixed on the things in the earth. In other words, as we identify in the spiritual realm, this would characterize. We can see, when you look at things from the heavenlies in Christ, you get a better perspective of what's going on the earth.
Amen. That's right.
That's why we don't say, what is this? We say, what? What is this for? What is the purpose? Some things that drive you crazy. You're standing on a horizontal plane, looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. And the longer you look at it, the worse it gets. The more confused you get. The more frustrated you get. And that thing, as long as you look at it, you get more. It frightens you. And you were frightened, now you're even more frightened. Because it's changing. It's transitional. So many times you look at it and you say, ooh, that's bad. And then as you look at it, it gets worse. And you can't see any joy because, you know, the problem is in front of the joy. But when you go up into the vertical sphere, you see the problem, but you see the joy also. That's like a bird's eye view. You get to see everything because you're looking down on it. Now, this is the defining realization mode. This is the last paragraph. This is the defining realization mode of our separation from the earthly multitude and the difference between the temporary earthly physical as distinguished from the eternal heavenly spiritual. We quoted from Colossians this morning, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 4 and 17. Amen. That's the place where members of the body of Christ's true citizenship exists. Listen, it's presently and eternally in Christ, which is the actual identification of the heavenlies. Now, the last phrase you read in that verse there, amen, I don't have time. It's translated, rendered, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I've got to look. That Greek word that's rendered, we eagerly wait, that's a triple compound word, basically denoting those who are continuously and assiduously, that is, exhibiting careful, unremitting attention, looking for, anticipating, and expecting the Savior out from heaven. Then they're not even teaching you to do that anymore in the ministries. You started saying Jesus is coming, people look at you somewhere, that person needs to go to a rest home or something. They think you crazy. You said Jesus is coming. Just in conversation, you said somebody, but you know the Lord is coming. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about other saved people in the church. That you say, hey man, what you talking about?
Amen. I hear you.
Our focus is what this economic initiative is going to be to get us out of trouble. And the fact is, you're not in trouble. Ooh, are you crazy? You are not in trouble. The world is in trouble, but we're not in trouble. Now, even though we have the Greek noun here, sotera, rendered salvation, does not have a definite article preceding it, it is obvious that the reference is basically speaking, rendering the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior.
Albert.
I leave you with that today. He is the only Savior.
Yes.
Now, I have no problem with you joining a political party, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, or even you can even sign up with Mr. Nader in the Green Party. Of course, we don't entertain any of that around here. But after you get to doing all of that, your trust and confidence better be in Jesus if you don't want to be disappointed. Your only deliverance is in Jesus. So accordingly, the soul adduces a pattern, a solution to manifestations of the occurrences of creation in the sphere of time. It's the documentation that engenders, everybody repeat after me, the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. That ends part one, and we go into part two next week. God bless you.